Our second reading today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 23, verses 13 to 26. It's a little different than printed in your bulletin. But listen now for the word of the Lord. Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man, this one, who is perverting the people. Here I have examined him in your presence and have not found guilt with this man and any of your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him." Then they all shouted together, "Away with this fellow! Release Barabbas for us." And Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again. And they kept saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no ground for the sentence to death. I will therefore have him flogged and then release him." But they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that he be crucified. And their voices prevailed. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Most gracious God, I'm a sinner saved by your grace. But I know all you have to do is say the word, and I shall be healed long enough to do your work and to do your will. Lord, I pray that you would hide this preacher behind the cross, that your people might see you and not me, that they might hear you and not me. Pray that we might be transformed forever by the power of your Holy Spirit. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. I want to challenge your thinking with the thought, which side of the palm are you on? Which side of the palm are you on? Jesus' entry into Jerusalem is like a flash bulb going off in the dark room. Has that ever happened? Maybe you at the movies and just before they show the movie, someone has a prank, press their camera and it flashes. But in the moment of the flash, you can see more clearly. You can see the people on your left or your right, or you can see the popcorn on the ground and the cups that were not picked up. But as your eyes begin to rear back from the illumination, it all fades and the room becomes darker than it was before the flash. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so some of you might be asking, why did I mention this? Dave, you might be asking, why did I mention this? I'm glad you did. For one brief shining moment, when we look at this story that we're so familiar with from our Sunday school days, we have the cult, the cheering crowds, the coats and the palms lining the road, and Jesus riding on the cult into the sacred holy city. Many people are screaming and shouting, "Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest," and people are truly celebrating. But just like a flash in the dark, it doesn't last. Truth is, as we go on, we'll see that things were dark just before his entrance into Jerusalem. And before the story finishes, it will grow darker still. But what I want to impress upon you this morning, it's hard to just look at the story of Palm Sunday and not take a look at the Passion. Therefore, I thought it was necessary to talk about both. But so often we want to just talk about Palm Sunday. We want to talk about Palm Sunday and just jump to Easter. Too often we make the entrance into Jerusalem like a spectacle. We want to romanticize it, you know, kind of like the Academy Awards in Hollywood. As you know, the celebrities arrive and they get what is literally known as the red carpet treatment. Yards and yards of gold-edged deep red carpet covers the sidewalks and the steps leading into the theater. Then there's the frenzy of all the cameramen and the reporters. Don't forget the endearing mobs of fans who just want to get a glimpse of their favorite actor or actress. But this is the kind of entrance that we envision when we think of Palm Sunday. It's so beautiful, but we don't really want to talk about the passion. Which side of the palm are you on? I think we need to embrace the whole story, amen? I think sometimes we need to embrace the darkness. I'll never forget, I was working with a young couple, and I was doing premarital care. And as I was working with them, I could see in the young lady's face that something was going on, but she didn't want to tell me. So I said, is there anything I need to know? She said, no. I said, is there anything I can help both of you with? She said, no. And session after session, I could feel something, but I can't make people talk if they don't want to talk. How many of you know what I'm talking about? She just wanted to get married. She didn't want to face the darkness. The marriage lasted about a year. What I found out was that the young man had cheated on her before they got married. And the young man had a serious problem with pornography. And it didn't work. And I always wondered what would have happened. And she said, Reverend Parson, we've got a problem. Maybe we could have worked it out. Think about another couple in their 30s. And I was doing premarital care. And I said, is there anything I can help you guys with? Is there anything going on that I need to know about? And the young man said, yeah, we've got a problem. I said, what's the problem? He says, I trust her, but she's got this gentleman who's a friend, and he gives us expensive gifts like a 50-inch TV and, you know, a mink coat and all these things. And they say they're just friends, but I'm uncomfortable with it. And I said, so am I. And so I said to her, I said, you know, if you want to pursue this, then I can't marry you. I'm not saying you can't get married, but I will say to you, I'm not the guy to marry you, because you cannot start your marriage off with a third party. And she says, what do we need to do? I said, do you trust me? You know that's a warning, right? And she said, yes, I trust you. And I said, I need his name and I need his number. And she gave it to me. Right there in the office, I called him. And I said his name, and I said, I'm Reverend Parson. I said, I'm working with so-and-so. And I said, you know her well? He says, yeah. I said, you know that she's about to get married? And he said, yeah. And I said, do you know her? Her fiancé is uncomfortable with the relationship that you have with her. And he said, I said, do you want her to have a happy marriage? And he says, I do. I said, then you need to back off. And we talked. I even prayed with him on the phone. And I know it sounds hard, but what I want to say to you today is that they embrace the darkness. And they talked about it. And that couple is still going on today. The flash goes off in the dark room. And what do we see? We don't see people with coats and palms lining the road. What we see is a lynching mob. What we see is confrontation, chaos, and betrayal. What we see is the dark side of the human experience. What we see in the flicker of light is the bloodthirsty crowd screaming, crucify him, crucify him. What we see in the instance is the ugly, brutal, shameful treatment of our Lord and Savior. And I know you're thinking like me, how could we have the coming of the king and in the same instance, treason and disloyalty? How can we have the burst of triumph in the battle of trauma all in the same week? How can we have a sustaining Savior and a suffering Savior all in the same week? How can we have the parade of Palm Sunday and the processional of deep suffering? It's when we embrace both Palm Sunday and Passion Sunday. My friends, I know we want to jump ahead. I know we want to have Palm Sunday, and before you know it, we're celebrating Easter. But we would do ourselves a disservice not to take the full journey, because we would miss what he's done for us. We would miss that he died for our sins. We would miss that he suffered for you and I way before we came along. We love him because he first loved us, amen? We love him because he first loved us, amen? Sometimes we have to embrace the darkness. The darkness could be any struggle that we might be going through. Don't fake it. Don't pretend that it doesn't exist. Deal with it. When my wife and I found out about our son that he would have Downs, she was amazing. And we prayed. And my wife reads everything. She read a book on Down syndrome, a couple of books. She even learned how to do some sign language before he was born. What am I saying to you? I'm not just trying to give you a piece of my life. What I'm trying to say to you is that this thing is real. That you have to embrace the darkness. And because we were able to jump on it, we have a beautiful, high-functioning son. I'm not going to tell you that it was easy, but I'm going to tell you that we were better off because we embraced it. And you'll be better off embracing the journey. The full journey, not just Palm Sunday. You see, Palm Sunday was significant. Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem obviously reveals Jesus as the Messiah, the King. God had promised Israel that he would establish one of David's sons upon the throne forever, and Jesus is the fulfillment of that promise. Passion Sunday reminds us of what Jesus did for us, that he died for us. The Passion reminds us that Jesus is both the high priest and the perfect sacrifice for our salvation. Palm Sunday and the Passion, it assures us that we've put our faith in the right Savior. Somebody ought to say amen. Somebody ought to say amen. How many of you know that he's good and that he loves us? I want you to take this journey with us. Would you join hands with the person next to you? And the reason that we do this is we never know what the person next to us is going through. Oh, my friends, there could be a struggle. There could be a struggle to embrace the darkness, a struggle to embrace what's going on. And maybe the person you're holding hands with just want to pretend that it doesn't exist. It's not real. But maybe by holding your hand, they remember that God is in the midst of us. He said, where two or more gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of you. Maybe today you won't pretend. But whatever the struggle is, you'll have a determination to give it to God. You'll believe today that he's with you on this journey. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gift of yourself. We thank you for the journey that you took. And Lord, Palm Sunday feels so good that we can wave our palm branches and we can think that the Savior is coming. Lord, don't let us be tempted to not come to church on Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday because we just want to get to Easter. But be with us, O God. Let us take the journey. Lord, we know that we'll be better for taking the journey. Father, I don't know what needs are here, but you do. Pray that you would bless every person that's here. Let them be better for coming, better for trusting you, better for leaning upon the everlasting. Thank you for being the author, the creator, the finisher of our faith. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.